Good morning. Good to see you here in worship, in person, also online on this beautiful morning the Lord has blessed us with. Hard to believe it's August already. Where does time go? What's the point? It's not going to answer me anyway. Is that your thought process on prayer? When it comes to talking with God, what's the point? Can we get tangled up more in the mechanics of our prayers than the content of prayer? Even when it comes to something like prayer, we can complicate what really is to be quite simple. And so the what and the how of prayer is our focus today. God be praised for this opportunity. I invite your attention to page 3 as we continue with our invocation. God, our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Guide our steps by the light of your word. Better than life is your love. Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
Lamentations 3, this I call to mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him, to the one who seeks him.
Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does
not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. Let us confess our sins to the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus.
God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us give glory to God, our light and our life. Let us pray. O Lord, your ears are always open to the prayers of your humble servants who come to you in Jesus' name. Teach us always to ask according to your will, that we may never fail to obtain the blessings you have promised.
Through Jesus Christ, the Son of our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Please be seated. As we turn to the Holy Scriptures for this Sunday, we first of all turn our attention to Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
How sweet are your words to my taste, so
sweeter than honey to my mouth. A reading from Holy Scripture, Genesis 18. Let us not assume that God will automatically say no to our requests. And let us learn from this account that we are to go to our Heavenly Father with boldness and confidence. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sins so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" "If I find 45 there," he said, "I will not destroy it." Once again he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" He said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. When we pray, let us also pray for others. A reminder of this, a reading from Holy Scripture, James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 11th chapter. As we hear these words of our Lord, we ask ourselves once again, what do we pray for and how do we pray? One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to fill you up and overflow through you. Amen. We turn our attention to these words from the Gospel of Luke. "Lord, teach us to pray." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things are possible. Do you like to talk? Or are you more the listening type? It's not that one is better than the other. In fact, people can complement one another when one is more of a talker and one is more of a listener. We are to do both. Now, which one we do will depend on the content, the context, the subject matter, the timing, and so on. Do you like to talk to God? Do you make the time to listen to God when He speaks to us, especially through His written word, the Holy Bible? We are to do both. And we could put more of an emphasis on that we are to be better listeners when God is speaking, because too often it can happen when we are talking, we will be missing what He has to say to us. Jesus was asked by His disciples to teach them how to pray. And so what we have before us is His answer. An answer, at least part of it, definitely is familiar to most of us, if not all of us. It is a teaching lesson that is still valuable for us to review, even if we think our prayer life is second to none and doesn't need much improvement. And so a fitting way to continue then with the words of our Lord before us is to ask the Holy Spirit to help us pray like this. When it comes to the matter of what to pray for and how to pray. The what to pray for, occupying the first several verses of our gospel reading, in order to keep in mind the opportunity to pray, we need to remember what our Lord and Savior has done to make it possible for us to pray in the first place. He has opened the door for us. Now, why do we need a door open so that we can pray? Well, again, think of who we are by nature. I mean, the Scriptures make it very clear that we are objects of wrath. We are dead to God spiritually on our own. We are conceived and born in sin. And so we have no right to approach God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator. We are not able in and of ourselves to stand in His presence. Thus, the importance and emphasis on the confession of sins at the beginning of our worship service each week to remind us that we are not in and of ourselves able to be in the presence of God. And so, Lord, have mercy on us. And then we're reminded of the fact that He has had mercy on us through His Son. And through His Son, access to our Father is available. And so Jesus has opened the door for us through His work of reconciliation, which was necessary for Him then to go to the cross, right? Because He had to pay for sin, not His own, but our sin. All the sins that we commit, for the lack of trust that we have in God to hear our prayers and to answer our prayers. For all the times that we don't take the time to even talk to God in prayer. For all the times that we get caught up in the mechanics of prayer. That, boy, if we don't pray with our hands folded and our eyes closed and our head bowed, then, boy, the Lord's surely not going to hear my prayer. If we're not facing the west or the east or the north or the south, if we're not sitting down or standing up, does the Lord care about those things? What does He care about? And who made that right? Not you. Not me. Jesus. And so how important it is when we pray to remember the reconciliation of Jesus. How we're able to approach God in the first place. And as we remember what Jesus has done to open the door, let us not then get caught up in the mechanics of prayer. Not that those aren't helpful things to help us focus on prayer, but let us not burden the consciences of people and say, if you don't pray a certain way, then your prayer is not acceptable to God, because then you're taking the focus off of Jesus and putting the focus on you. And when the focus is on you, don't expect the door to be open, because His ears are attentive to the prayers of the righteous, not the unrighteous. And so give thanks, first of all, that God's throne of mercy access to heaven has been opened for you and to you through Jesus. Scripture also reminds us of the importance of Jesus as we get into the what and how to pray for, that Jesus is the one mediator between God the Father and us. Not many mediators. How many people do you know pray to various saints thinking that they need to approach God through a sinner like you and me? That we've sainted in our minds. Yes, they have been washed clean through the blood of the Lamb. We trust through Jesus. But that doesn't mean their prayers are any more powerful than our prayers. The access to God's throne is through Jesus. How many people, again, get caught up in approaching God, not in Jesus' name, but in the name of some false god? Again, they have a form of godliness, of spirituality, but it's misplaced. Again, the ears are attentive to the righteous, not the unrighteous. So give thanks for the reconciliation work of Jesus and the fact that He is our mediator. He is the go-between between God the Father and us. And even though we may not close every prayer in Jesus' name, we know that's how we are able to approach God and trust that He answers our prayers in and through Jesus. And what caught the disciples' eye in our text is, what was Jesus doing once again? Jesus was praying. Here, the Son of God, Jesus is God. He is praying to His Heavenly Father. What gives? Well, He also took on human flesh. And He's having a conversation with His Heavenly Father. And Jesus knows what's ahead of Him in a short period of time. Father, give me strength in the flesh to carry out what's necessary. So not only is He having a conversation with His Heavenly Father for His own benefit, at the same time He's also having that conversation with His Heavenly Father for the benefit of those around Him. Because Jesus is also praying for those around Him. And as they see Him, the Son of God and Son of Man, the Messiah, taking time to pray, what ought they be using their time for? But to pray. And again, can you drive down the road and pray at the same time? Can you be working in the garden and pray at the same time? You don't have to walk and chew gum at the same time to have a conversation with God and do something else. Again, we want to give Him our full attention, but we can. We don't have to drive down the road with eyes closed in order to pray. Don't do it. Keep your eyes open. And so give thanks that we're able to pray as our Savior has taught us. And so as we get into the what to pray for, Jesus says familiar words. They have become familiar to us. Who are we praying to? Our Father in heaven. By the grace of God, through the reconciling work of Jesus, we can approach God as our Heavenly Father. And where is He? He's everywhere. But our Father in heaven. What else do we want to ask our Father in heaven for? As we look at the petitions, they're not all listed here for us that we're familiar with between Matthew and Luke. So again, let us not get caught up in it has to be said in a certain way, the Lord's Prayer. But the content and what Jesus was doing through this, what we call the model prayer, putting emphasis on the fact that our prayers are to be more spiritual focused than me or physical focused, earthly, here and now only focused. And so with that in mind, Lord, continue Your rule in Your heart, in our hearts, and also begin the rule in the hearts of others. Establish Your kingdom in the hearts of others. And how does He do that? Through the means of grace. How does He continue to rule in our hearts? Yet through the means of grace. And so the importance of staying connected to the means of grace. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come. And yet we don't connect ourselves to the means of grace. What's missing? You know, Jesus has also said, blessed are they who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Well, Lord, I ask you to strengthen your rule in my heart, but it's not happening. Are you in the source that God has given to us to do just that? Well, I thought I saw, or I was hoping for a mediator to come out of the sky, and that would do that. That's not how God operates. He's given the means right before us. And as we are connected to the means of grace more and more, that next petition that the Lord puts out there too is, forgive us as we forgive. How you doing at forgiving others? Is it conditional? And while you're holding back on forgiveness on someone else, are you expecting God to be forgiving of you? Forgive us as we forgive. That person that has harmed you may not be asking for forgiveness, but yet that attitude, I am willing to forgive. That doesn't mean there aren't consequences that will follow for a harmful action. But that attitude of forgiveness, in light of the fact that we have been forgiven. How important, again, then, the focus on the reconciliation of work of Jesus first and foremost, giving us the opportunity to approach God, the how we're able to approach God, and the why we're able to approach God, and to give us that help in forgiving others as we have been forgiven. And then lead us not into temptation. Literally, let us help not get caught up in sin. Help us recognize what is a temptation for me, and it may be different for each and every one of us. Lord, help me recognize it, to not get caught up in it, to not flirt with it. Because some can handle the flirting and not get burned, but others can flirt and get burned. And so, Lord, help me recognize that temptation, that source of it, and stay away from it. And Lord, when I do give in to temptation, lift me back up again. Your mercies are new every morning. He can do that. So again, our focus on what to pray for is more dealing with our relationship with God, our relationship for the here and for the hereafter. And so as we examine our prayers, are we praying more for the here only and not so much for the hereafter? I mean, God said all things work out for the good of those who love Him. Primarily spiritually. Again, what does He want for us? He wants to make sure that we get to heaven, that we stay on that path. And so He can use all things for that purpose. And so, Lord, help me see that purpose. And when I don't see it, still help me hold on. That doesn't mean we cannot approach Him for the physical things, for the things that are just for the here. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us be content with what You provide for us. And we can be as we examine what He does for creation. He takes care of the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. If God cares about such things, how much more He cares about you? And when we take a step back, doesn't He provide generously for our physical well-being? Maybe it's not what we want when it comes to food or medical assistance, but it's what we need. And when it comes to medical means, I mean, in our country, do we realize how blessed we still are? Does God not provide? But that person died. But did not God provide for that person while still on this earth? And didn't God provide for that person by keeping His promise and taking them into eternal life? God, help us through the work of the Holy Spirit remember what to pray for. that James, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, reminds us when it comes to our prayers, again, the bigger picture of the here and hereafter. What is our life? It's like a mist. You know, 1 minute we're here, the next we're gone. So that helps keep our life, again, in perspective. And so when it comes to our prayers, not just for ourselves, but God help us pray such things for others. That they too, by the Holy Spirit, might realize what Jesus has done for them and what he enables them to do. And to take their thoughts and their trials and their troubles and their joys to the Lord in prayer. How do we do that? Well, the Lord, through our scripture readings, reminds us, let us do that with shameless audacity. Let us be bold in our prayers, confident, and let us do ask. Well, I don't know, Lord. Are you awake today? I don't know. It's been a while. Maybe you don't have time for this. I know you like this person better than me. Does God operate that way? No. Right? He is open 24/7, 7 days a week. Even leap year. He has time for everybody. And so let us go to him in prayer with what's on our heart and our mind. Now, as we go to him, let's not order, God, you need to do this for me or else. And we don't need to beg to God. We already have access to God. Please, 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 pretty please. We don't need to do that either. Go to him with confidence and boldness that he will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. And if we don't see the answer or feel the answer at that time, that doesn't mean he has not answered us. Check your feelings and don't get caught up in your feelings. Because sometimes we may feel like God has not answered us, but he has. But where our feelings are misguiding us, and so we miss the answer. And if we're missing the answer, let us be persistent in our prayers to God, while at the same time using that opportunity to re-examine what are we asking God for? Are we asking for something that's really selfish and only the here and now? Or are we asking for that which will strengthen our relationship with Jesus now and into eternity? Maybe the door seems shut, but keep on asking until you know for sure. And when it comes to the answer, what can we be sure of? God will give us every good and perfect gift. Reminded of that not only here in Luke, but also in James. God does not give out bad gifts. I mean, if human parents know how to give good gifts to their children, even if the motive is not always pure, how much more so our Heavenly Father knows and wants to give good gifts to his children. You know, when you give a gift to, or something to a child, and you may even put a plate of food before the child, you buy him clothes, what sometimes is the reaction? Lame. Do we do that sometimes with God's gifts to us? Instead of being thankful, we go lame? God help us then again receive his gifts with joy and with thanksgiving. Knowing that what he has for us is with pure motives and for our best interests. And for help us then to have that right frame of mind, their encouragement again to get back and stay in the Word, which keeps our focus where it needs to be. It guides our requests where it needs to be as well. As we get into the Word and we're having our conversations with God and we're not seeing what we think are the answers or satisfaction, as we get back into the Word, we may come across those scriptures that go, oh, you know what? I haven't been really asking for the right thing. Thank you, Lord, for through your Word directing my heart and my mind in this direction. And at the end of the day, Lord, just keep me on that straight and narrow way. And so we close with this prayer. Lord, feed and equip us through your Word. Your Word is truth and a light for our life until we reach our home above. And all God's people say, Amen. Please stand.
The peace of God which transcends
all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the one mediator between God and us. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith based on the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 9.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What are we meaning to say with these words? In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, he gave me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and
give
eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is
most certainly true. Please be seated. We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace, where there is hatred, where there is injury,
where there is doubt,
where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness. O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. Lord, we ask that you refresh the bodies and minds of Homer Carson, Nita Ross, and Janet Heyer, who have been in need of medical assistance this past week. Not only refresh their bodies as you will for them, above all, continue to refresh their minds and hearts with the reminder that these health challenges do not change their status with you through Jesus. Life is precious. Thank you for the gift of life able to be celebrated this week as family and friends celebrate a birthday. And since marriage is meant to be a blessing to your creation, guide couples through your word on how to have those blessings become evident in their marriage. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord. We turn now to the sacrament. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
May this body
which was given for you and this blood which was shed for you strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live your life in peace and with joy and with confidence, for you are at peace with God. Amen. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. The Gospel of Luke here in the church starting at 9:30, and then the family Bible hour starting at 9:15, meeting in the Lutheran room just across the way. So keep that in mind. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society Mission Box Week. So please, if you want to learn more about that, you can check out the information board there in the lobby. But again, thank you for your generosity in supporting the missions LWMS supports. Today, about 3:30, Connect 2030 is hosting a sand volleyball event, but also Family Connect is there as well. And so families, any all ages, if you want to play sand volleyball, you want to watch sand volleyball, you want to go to the water park or whatever it might be, Harry Crab Park, beautiful park, 3:30, we'll be there. So keep that in mind. If you want to have some fellowship, sit in a lawn chair, watch Ryan dive in the sand as he goes for that ball. If more questions about the Family Connect, talk to Ryan or Kaisa. They're coordinating that aspect of it, so thank you. A campus freshen up this coming Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock, or come when you can. If you can't come on Saturday, let us know. You can come during the week, or you can come anytime, really. There's always something to do on campus as far as pulling weeds and freshening things up. But we're planning to lay down 20 yards of playground mulch. So we had to double it up this year. We got the new retaining wall. Water's been drained out, and we need to bolster it back up to requirement level. So a little more mulch than usual. So bring your back and your shovel. We'll get that done in good time. Other than that, see the weekly news for other things going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.